For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson with the latest readout video from our free weekly email newsletter, the free weekly reminder to subscribe and send money, and a language-mangling free greeting to viewers in Croatia who've made it number 34 on our all-time list of views by jurisdiction. Followed by an almost speechless glare at the ghouls trying to exploit the tragic drowning of campers in Texas for climate polemics. The normal human response when disaster strikes is to save those in danger, succor the injured, hungry, or dispossessed, protect those who are threatened with harm, and then draw lessons. But when bad weather strikes, the alarmists do too, including blaming Texas floods on climate change before the bodies had even been recovered from the tragic flood that swept away a Christian camp for girls in Kerrville called Camp Mystic. It would be bad enough if they were right on the substance, but when they're factually wrong as well, it's ghoulish. Have they no decency? Euronews was quick to feast on the carnage with, quote, a 100-year flood, how climate change made the Texas flood disaster more likely, end quote. And Bloomberg Green rushed to judgment with, quote, Texas has been at the epicenter of extreme weather events in recent years. Climate change also makes it harder to predict the speed at which disasters can spin out of control, end quote. No, such floods are not becoming more common in Texas, which has always been in flash flood alley as well as tornado alley. Nor is it remotely plausible that prior to the 1980s, human beings in Texas, or anywhere, had a good grasp on how quickly a given disaster was liable to spin out of control, whatever that phrase is even meant to mean. The piece also claims, quote, climate change has driven more extreme rainfall around the world. Scientists haven't yet examined these floods for the fingerprints of climate change. A rapid analysis by Colorado State University climatologist Ross Schumacher shows the six-hour rainfall totals made this a thousand-year event, end quote. Heatmap also did the can't but we will anyway and took the obligatory shot at Donald Trump, as with the New York Times climate editor who swooped in hissing, quote, one of the most difficult realities of living in a warmer world is that the atmosphere is more likely to unleash worst-case scenarios on us, particularly when it comes to rain. That is what seemed to have happened to the Texas Hill Country Friday morning when flash floods engorged the Guadalupe River, killing at least 100 people, including more than 24 children, end quote. It's dirty journalism and it's dirty science. As Chris Mards observed, quote, there have been no detectable increases in either the frequency or magnitude of river floods in the Texas Hill Country since 1965. In fact, they have decreased over the last 60 years, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, end quote. And, quote, Camp Mystic and neighboring communities like Hunt and Kerrville are located on the floodplains of the Guadalupe River Valley. The sediment that they're built on has been deposited by hundreds of floods over the last several thousand years, end quote. If only journalists had Google on their computers or decency in their hearts. In the newsletter, we also insist that when politicians tell you they're about to fix the weather, or indeed do anything marvelous or even adequate, you should ask for evidence that they have any such abilities. For instance, on this fabled lurch to net zero. Reducing carbon emissions has been the cause du jour de la décennie du siècle since at least the 1992 Rio Earth Summit, and absolutely since COP21 in Paris in 2015. Yet they tell us that we must now urgently entrust them with the job because atmospheric CO2 hit its, quote, highest recorded level in human history, end quote, last month. But next time for sure. Of course, we are not to be trusted, being insane venal climate deniers. According to Canada's government-funded news propaganda agency, the CBC, a government-funded study by a government-funded university, quote, found people who are more skeptical about climate change are more likely to rank higher on scales of narcissism, Machiavellianism, and psychopathy, traits that reflect a tendency to be self-centered, manipulative, callous, and socially aversive, end quote. We're busted, so send us money as we burn up your planet. unless you are, quote, more likely to have pro-social personality traits of openness, agreeableness, honesty, humility, and emotionality, end quote, like, say, the researchers and the politicians. And another thing, the fact that it's hot in midsummer in parts of the Northern Hemisphere is being treated in certain quarters as proof positive of a man-made global warming crisis. But it might more properly be considered proof positive of a man-made education crisis that by now has filled important institutions, including the press, with people who are very bad at thinking things through, especially their own assumptions. For instance, being as hot today as on many other occasions doesn't make it unprecedentedly hot today. And something that might happen is not something that did happen. So, a story such as, quote, Germany could see temperatures reach rare 40 degrees amid heat wave, end quote, is not news but propaganda. What a strange result of at least half a century of schools boasting of mass-producing original thinkers who challenge convention from their identical outfits to their lockstep individualism tattoos to their progressive mantras. And here we must quote veteran Canadian journalist and commentator Peter Stockland. Quote, an editor I knew years ago used to reprimand young reporters for using the word could as a basis for news stories. A bomb could fall in Calgary. It hasn't. There's no sign it will. And if or when it does, we'll report the news, was his well-honed refrain, end quote. So, if someone had to write about a German heat wave using only things that had happened, why not emulate Tony Heller's frequent trips to the archives to compare current hysteria with cold hard facts? Or hot hard facts, like his media spelunking trophy from The Observer back on July 18th of 1852, which to alarmists is pre-industrial times, but shouldn't be pre-online search times, and which gorily catalogues dreadful heat waves and droughts in Europe in, what's this? The Middle Ages? The Renaissance? Oh yeah, and more. For instance, quote, in 1132 the earth opened and the rivers and springs disappeared in Alsace. The Rhine was dried up. In 1152 the heat was so great that eggs were cooked in the sand. In 1160, at the Battle of Bella, a great number of soldiers died from the heat, end quote. Oh well, maybe the medieval warm period secretly did exist. But since they said rare, note also, quote, in 1440 the heat was excessive. In 1538, 1539, 1540, 1541, the rivers were almost entirely dried up. In 1556 there was a great drought all over Europe. In 1615 and 1616, the heat was overwhelming in France, Italy, and the Netherlands. In 1646, there were 58 consecutive days of excessive heat, end quote. Brutal. And you know what they'd say if such a thing were to occur in 2025? Unprecedented. Proof of a man-made crisis. Could be a record. Of course, in trying to make sense of climate, there are all kinds of ways that you need to exercise caution about claims that people make. For instance, quote, we will not survive continued carbon sink weakening as atmospheric CO2 will increase faster and faster from it alone, end quote. Which is extremely dubious even at its take on carbon sinks, let alone human extinction resulting if it does get slightly warmer. Especially when the authors of claims like this one don't seem to be paying any attention to revolutionary new findings on carbon sinks and claim wildfires are increasing when they're not. But it's also important to understand that even basic things like global figures for human emissions depend on governments whose fidelity and competence are equally suspicious. For instance, Communist China, which uses the Iron Boot to fake even stats on bees and the price of honey. So, do you believe them on carbon? Bloomberg does. The failure of the press to do its job is also gruesomely on display with the fabled green energy transition. It's not happening, and whether you think it should be, or could be, or are convinced that it's undesirable, or even impossible, you want to know basic stuff such as that it's not. So-called mainstream media outlets, however, keep talking as though there were an irresistible rush into wind, solar, geothermal, or even green hydrogen when, as Catherine Swift recently noted, quote, in 2024, the world's largest banks increased their overall financing for the oil and gas sector by about 20%, which was the first increase since 2021. The 16th annual Banking on Climate Chaos report showed that the leading 65 banks globally increased their funding of fossil fuel businesses by $162 billion from 2023. Most of this added financing came in the form of loans and bonds, although all forms of funding saw increases. Overall, fossil fuel lending hit $869 billion in 2024 by the leading banks, end quote. And despite endless stories about how the US is falling further behind China in some fictitious race to alternative world domination, as Bjorn Lomborg recently wrote, quote, when a grid failure plunged 55 million people in Spain and Portugal into darkness at the end of April, it should have been a wake-up call on green energy, end quote. Somebody in the Wall Street Journal newsroom put the subhead, quote, Madrid knew solar and wind power were unreliable but pressed ahead anyway, quote, on the piece. But actually, Lomborg said, quote, Even while admitting that he didn't know the April blackout's cause, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez insisted that there was no empirical evidence that renewables were to blame and that Spain is not going to deviate a single millimeter from its green energy ambitions, end quote. And while it's not much of an excuse, if the Prime Minister reads most newspapers, it is understandable that he never saw the evidence. Oh, and this week we wrapped up our Look It Up series by peering into the future. Of course, we don't have data about what life will be like in the year 2100, and we don't pretend to. But they do, So, we have IPCC emission scenarios, shared socioeconomic pathways, or SSPs, which some people treat like oracles or even news reports from the future. Obsessively focused on temperature, the best future they can think of is the SSP1 world, in which there's only about a 1.8 degrees Celsius warming relative to 2020. The worst is SSP5, in which the world warms 3.8 degrees Celsius compared to 2020. It's not realistic. But if it somehow happened, what else do they say would change? Well, there'd be lots of fossil fuel use due to lots of economic growth. How much growth exactly? We're glad you asked, because we decided to look it up. And amazingly, it's enough to make the whole world 10 times richer than it is today. Even extremely poor countries would become nearly twice as rich as the United States is now. And that, we're told, we must avoid at all costs. Want to bet they feel differently in Senegal? Now, here at CDN, we often gripe that with climate change, you can say just anything. Warm winter? Greenhouse gases make the air warmer. Cold winter? Greenhouse gases make the Arctic warmer, so the jet stream gets wavier, bringing brutally cold winter south. So, heads they win, tails we lose. Except, as Tony Heller has pointed out, back during the 1970s, scientists blamed a wavy polar vortex on global cooling. And a new study says the jet stream was even wavier in the early 20th century. Drat. Finally, from the CO2science.org archive, Rumex obtusifolius L, or bitter dock, also known as broadleaf dock, bluntleaf dock, dockleaf, Dawkins, and even butterdock, is either an invasive weed or a tasty salad green, or both, depending who you ask. It does grow throughout the world, and in 1998, six experiments showed that an extra 300 parts per million of CO2 causes bitter dock to grow an average of 18.7% bigger. So, if the Dawkins is growing like the Dickens, you'll know why. Just don't be bitter on your dock. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I don't believe a word the communists in Beijing say.